Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
I want you to imagine actually working for the Enclave. And this is a debatable topic. This is something that comes up in our patron chats and with people that I talk to and see discussions about online and comments on videos and all sorts of things. There is a contingency of people out there who still support the Enclave as if they are somehow the good guys. And I would like you to just take a moment to think about what it would be like to work for them. You are a soldier working for the Enclave. You believe that the solution to mankind's problems in the wasteland is to eliminate everything that is unclean. Let that word sink in, because you've probably heard it mentioned before in certain historical circumstances. In the Enclave's mind, anything that's unclean is not just super mutants or ghouls. It's people, individuals, human beings who have been exposed through no fault of their own, simply by living in the wasteland, to FEV. So you might believe that that ideology is correct, that somehow, if you were to kill off everybody who was infected with the FEV, that you would save the United States of America and potentially the world. But think about what that means. You are a soldier. Your job is to find the enemy and extinguish them. You work for the Enclave. This doesn't just mean if you come up across, say, some Brotherhood individuals who happen to have been exposed to the FEV because they were raised in the wasteland, that you would fight them. You would try to destroy them. They are a threat, according to your beliefs, to the future of the world. And that doesn't hit too bad, right? Soldiers fighting soldiers. In many cases, power armor soldiers wearing power armor on both sides, fighting each other. That's what wars are about. You don't become a soldier and then expect not to have to fight. But what about when it comes down to regular people? What about when your commands are to go to that farmstead and eliminate everyone? And of course, they're going to pick up whatever weapons they have and try to defend themselves against this impossible task of fighting against, say, a soldier in Hellfire power armor or XO2 power armor. The farmers don't stand a chance. And from your side of this, you believe you're doing what's right. But think about it. You're extinguishing, destroying, murdering a family, men, women, children, elderly, simply because of something that they cannot control about themselves. If this brings to mind echoes of genocide or fascist ideology, it's supposed to. This is the Enclave. They believe that only they are pure, and everyone else is a threat to the purity of mankind. And we can debate if that actually makes sense or not. We can debate if this solution would actually solve the problems that having the FEV just out in the wasteland for anybody to contract or mutate or whatever would actually be the solution or not. My sense is that, first of all, there's no way to make sure that you kill everyone with the FEV. Secondly, that just because you're killing the people It doesn't mean that you're going to remove it from any sort of life form that could potentially hold on to that virus and pass it on to anyone else. It's like trying to fight the flu. You can't get rid of it from everyone. It doesn't work that way. And secondly, it creates a dilemma for your soldiers. How many times can a soldier march into a situation where they are asked to commit atrocities and then feel like they can do it again or not lose faith in the enclave, in the people who are promoting this ideology? How many times can that happen before someone breaks? Well, we have an example of that. Today's episode, I will be taking a look at the Enclave Remnants quest, which includes this wonderful story about the Black Devil. This is a story of someone, not just someone, a patriot, somebody who held the belief that they could help the wasteland, and their experience working for the Enclave and rediscovering an ancient patriotic story in the form of a radio play. One of Hubris Comics' less popular superheroes was known as the Black Devil. The Black Devil was not as well written as the Silver Shroud or as popular as Grognak the Barbarian. In fact, as you play through this quest line, you learn more about the Black Devil and how it was not necessarily the most successful of Hubris Comics' creations. But it was something that some people listened to. A superhero. Somebody who could hear from miles away when patriotic songs were being played on the radio. Kind of like a bat signal to call them into action, to fight against the commies, or whatever evil happened to be lurking around the next corner. These old stories made their way into the wasteland, into the current day, and I'm calling it ancient. It's a story, and these comics come from pre-war times. And yet 200 years later, during the events of Fallout 4, some people still know these stories. Some people still read the comics or listen to old holotapes. This includes a member of the Enclave, somebody who discovered the Black Devil during a time where they needed it most. And we don't know their name, we don't know their gender, we don't know how old they are. All we know is that there was an Enclave officer who explains in their journal about the situations that they went through. And you can read about this in the terminals at Mass Pike. The first one says, "Leaving the Enclave. I was once a military officer, a patriot who wore the uniform with pride. I finished with honors at the academy, rose quickly through the ranks, and joined an elite troop of soldiers known as the Devil's Hand." And first of all, I want to point this out. There's a few things here. First of all, they mention that they finished with honors at the academy and rose quickly through the ranks. Now, either this is an individual who worked for a group that became the Enclave or eventually became known as the Enclave. They were there during the pre-war, and I'm not sure if they used that title or not during the pre-war, but it definitely was used afterwards. So either they existed way back in time, 200 years previous, and went to the academy, or there are still academies run by the Enclave after the bombs dropped. So it's one or the other. Also, if you are an organization that has an elite group of soldiers that you call the Devil's Hand, then maybe, like the Germans in World War II, you might have a question about the skulls on your outfit and wonder if we're really the good guys. The note continues, "As a special forces unit, we were given access to new prototypes, the crown jewel of which was the X-02 power armor. With it, we cleansed the wasteland of mutants, ferals, and the unpure." Notice the word there, unpure. "We found old technology and discovered uncharted land. And I'll pause there because Uncharted Land is also interesting. The idea that the Enclave were looking for places that they had not discovered yet. We did it all with ruthless efficiency. For that, I was decorated, distinguished, and yet I felt more disillusioned than anything. We mocked the outsiders for being unclean. But after each mission, I was the one who always felt dirty. Everything was done to maximize Enclave resources and strategic positions, with no consideration for those who paid the cost of our labors. Some were children, others barely born. But if you asked me why I defected, it wasn't one thing. There was no crying child, no singular event that made me turn. My belief in what we were doing simply eroded over time, like a callus slowly peeling off the skin. And that, I love that analogy because it does track, right? This idea that you have to be callous enough emotionally in order to go through with these orders. I used to believe the Enclave was here to protect the ideals this country was founded on. Now I realize that couldn't be further from the truth. And so eventually, I left the Enclave for good. Now, put yourself in the shoes of this individual. We don't know a whole lot about them, so they could be anyone. And in fact, I think that's part of the idea here, is that they could be any of us. And one of the things that they have figured out that is very plainly stated here, right at the bottom of this quote, is that the Enclave couldn't be further from the truth. They realized that the means don't necessarily justify the ends. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the things that you're doing or being asked to do should support the thing that is the goal at the end. Is it worth doing the things that are going to get you to your destination? And so a simple example would be, is it worth going to work every day and working hard at your job to make sure that you get enough money every month to take care of the things that you need to take care of? And most of the time, the answer is yes, because our jobs are legal. We're not being asked, hopefully, to do illegal things. And they may even be things that we enjoy, things that we like doing. So the means justify the ends. But what about when it comes to bigger issues? What about when it comes to questions about saving the world? Well, one of the things that you find very often, especially in fiction, is that the ends justifying the means is something that happens a lot with villains. Let's take Thanos from the MCU, for example. A lot of us at this point are going to be familiar with the Avengers movies and what Thanos' justification was. He came up with a solution. He saw a problem. There are limited resources in the universe for the size of the populations of all the planets, of all the intelligent races. He added it up and he said, you know what? There just aren't enough resources. That is his justification for why his own homeworld went through problems. And so he came up with a solution. Well, what if there were less people? His solution to the problem is to destroy, to murder one out of every two individuals. And sure, we can debate the merits of this justification, if it's rational or not, how long it would actually last, but that's not the point. The point here is that his justification was supported by his conclusion. He thought, and he knew, that it was a terrible thing to kill every one out of two people. But he thought that that was a worthwhile sacrifice to make in order to reach the goal at the end. Another analogy would be something like Darth Vader. Anakin is asked, or, well, instructed by the Emperor to kill the rest of the Jedi. This includes the younglings. That famous scene, and I can't say younglings without laughing as I say it, but yes, it includes the younglings and that famous scene in the movie where he confronts all those poor little kids, and then we know what he does after that. And it is terrible, and it is contentious, And the other things that Darth Vader does after that moment are also terrible. But all of that is in the guise of bringing peace to the galaxy. If you can destroy anybody who would stand against you, then there will be peace. You see it? You see it now? Villains often believe that the ends justify the means, that the end goal is valuable enough that it warrants doing any and everything to get there. And of course, we tend to view these villains from the perspectives of the protagonist. They are the antagonist. They're trying to do something terrible in order to reach their goal. And we look at the things they're doing in the moment and we go, no, that's terrible. You're taking away the freedoms of the individuals in order to achieve something that you think will be better. But there's no solid justification for that. It's just your beliefs. This is happening with the Enclave as well. They are justifying their terrible actions with the belief that it's going to make the world a better place. But notice that. It's only a belief. There's not enough factual evidence to support it. And even if there was, those actions would still be terrible. Think about this. You see it in our own world all the time. The people who are willing to make these sacrifices, and I say sacrifices in air quotes, because it's never them that are the ones who are sacrificing. It's always them asking sacrifices from other people in order to achieve something that's going to make the world better in their mind. And it's always some highfalutin, and I don't even know if that's a phrase, but it seems like the kind of phrase you would use in Fallout, highfalutin ideals, without even really a solid justification for it when you think about it. You can poke holes in any of these arguments, whether it's Star Wars or Marvel or the Enclave. How do they know that if they kill everyone who has been exposed to FEV, that will solve the problem? They don't. They hope that that will solve the problem, but they don't really know. And this wears on this unknown Enclave officer. And eventually, they decide to leave the Enclave and find a way to justify themselves, to vindicate themselves from all the terrible things that they did in the past. And the solution is to become something greater, to become the Black Devil.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, welcome to the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our newest patron, Phillips, for joining us on the Patreon. Patreon.com/FalloutLorecast if you want to get ad-free episodes. There's a few little bonus gameplay episodes in there that are only available. And then there's also stickers and t-shirts and joining us on our patron chats, all sorts of wonderful things. And I couldn't do the show without all of your support. So thank you very much. Go check that out. Patreon.com/FalloutLorecast. And a big shout out to our sentry bot, Atle Morton. Thank you so much for your support. And guess what? My program that shows all the different reviews is working again. So we get to read some of them out, like this one from War in Gaming in South Africa, who writes, I recently started playing Fallout 4 and wanted to know more of the lore of Fallout. This podcast helped me understand Fallout better. 5 stars. Simple and to the point. Thank you so much, Warren Gaming. And hello to everybody in South Africa. It's so cool when people from different countries tune in. Then we have one from another country, from Australia. This is MZilla1234, who writes 10 stars out of 5. This is hands down the best podcast I've ever listened to. I have been a Fallout fan since 2018, and it was great to find a lore cast that contains so much detail and has in-depth conversations about the universe of Fallout. Tom is a great host and so easy to listen to. I listened to all 308 episodes in about 2 months. Keep it up. Yeah, this is a little while back. Holy moly, thank you so much for that, and thank you for listening to all the episodes. And then this one from HerbieB22 in the US, who writes, great pod. Tom is awesome. I watched the series and wanted to learn more about Fallout. I found the lore cast and has gotten really gotten me really interested in playing the games. I asked Tom on Twitter which one I should start on, and he replied very quickly. He told me to go with Fallout 4. And when I got home, I plan to, or when I get home, plan to start playing. Yeah, congratulations. I'm so glad that you're getting into the games and you came in from the TV show. And thank you for taking the time to leave the 5-star review. And I hope you enjoy Fallout 4. I it's going to be less crashy than some of the other older games. Should be a little bit easier for the gameplay stuff and all of that. Also, 76 would be cool to jump into too. And if you have a system that isn't going to crash too much on the old games, might be worth doing those. So thank you for everybody. I will continue reading up more of these reviews on future episodes. So please leave some if you listen on Apple Podcasts, rate the show on Spotify, share it with your friends. All of that stuff is super helpful. All right, let's continue with the rest of this story. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So the story continues. This Enclave officer discovers something that changes their life. Here's their next digital entry. It's titled Becoming the Devil. At first, I wasn't sure if they'd come after me. The suit was valuable property, one of only a handful of modern XO2 prototypes. But the colonels were facing issues on a number of fronts. As it turns out, President Eden's death provided an ample distraction for my defection. Now, this gives us a date. President Eden's death happens at the end of Fallout 3. So this individual, I was speculating earlier, went to an academy in the wasteland, not before the bombs dropped. The events of what happened here are recent, within just a decade or so. Maybe there'd come a time when the rent would be due, but for now, I was left to roam the Commonwealth by myself. One day while scavenging, I came across an old holotape for a locally syndicated radio program. The show was terrible and was rightfully canceled after a few episodes. That was the reference, or one of the references I was talking about, and how the Black Devil show wasn't so good. The devil was a caricature with horns and a pitchfork and multiple catchphrases. But the name of the character drew me in. He was a devil, just like me. But somehow he didn't let that define him. They turned him into a real patriot. Before I knew it, I started emulating some of his backstory. I found a bunker under an old police ration site with plenty of resources. I started listening to distress signals on the radio and helping out settlers. In the radio program, the Black Devil could hear the songs of America from thousands of miles away. I can't do that, but what I can do is set up a radio signal to transmit the old Enclave songs I have on holotape, and hijack a few iBots to monitor settlements remotely. Some of the settlers have picked up on the cues and started playing the music when they need help. I've limited the station to broadcast only a handful of songs at the moment. I have 8 in total, but I'd rather not play them all. Some of them open up old wounds. And this plays out in the questline, and I'm not going to go over all the details. This is something worth playing on your own. Look for the Enclave Remnants Creation Club quest. And there are individuals out there. You find out about people in the wasteland who believe that maybe this Black Devil character is real. And they start transmitting these songs when they need aid. And it seems that this new Black Devil does show up and help people out. And they state it here themselves. How do they know? They can't hear these songs from thousands of miles away, but they can monitor what's going on out in the wasteland using some iBots, some radio transmitters, and they become the hero that they never got to be. They thought they were a hero. They thought they were a soldier with the Enclave, fighting for the future of America, and then realized that that was not the case. They were killing Americans. Good, hard-working people who were just trying to survive in the wasteland and build back something for the future. But they couldn't do it forever. Their last recorded entry in this terminal is called A Humble Request. I need to shut off the radio for my own sake. Back when I was with the Devil's Hand, the group the elite soldier group from the Enclave. We used to play them while in the throes of battle. Can you imagine that? Enclave soldiers with American patriotic music playing as they fight their enemies and murder the innocent. It continues. When I became the Black Devil, the music put my mind where it needed to be. But now, too many of the wrong memories get triggered by the melody. Besides, with my health being what it is, I can't be the devil anymore. So I've decided to leave the suit here and hope someone will take up the mantle in my stead. To whoever is reading this now, I only ask one favor. To get through the door, you turned the radio back on. All I'm asking is for you to shut it back off, but this time, for good. The console has a kill switch that will short-circuit the radio signal. Triggering that should also disable the electronic lock on the safe, just in case you need a reward to make it worth your while. I'm asking you for this favor because I might still be out there, living as a common civilian. And if I should pass by a radio, I'd rather not hear that music ever again. And this seems to be the end of this individual's story. We don't know who they are. We don't know if we can actually run into them in the wasteland. They are as good as anonymous. And yet, in the aftermath of what has happened here, there are Enclave members, Enclave remnants, searching the Boston area for the location of the missing X-02 power armor. Now, from a gameplay perspective, from a meta perspective, this is some of the best armor you can get in the game. It would be silly to just pass up the opportunity to use this armor, especially if you're somebody who likes playing in power armor. I'm not usually the kind of person who prefers power armor, but I will put it on in situations where I feel like I need the extra protection. And coming across this is a very rare thing. But are you willing to understand the reason why it's there in the first place? If you think of this from a roleplay perspective, you come across this questline in the world. You go through the hoops. You find the different audio tapes and you play the different patriotic songs and you find the location where this armor is at, which I recently did in a playthrough live on Twitch. I've been playing, I've mentioned this before, I've been playing with a crowd control mod, which allows people on Twitch to throw things into my game. And yes, there were some some crazy events where I get thrown into the air or people drop in a bunch of monsters and I had to fight them on the way to finding out basically how this works out and getting this armor. But when you get to the end, are you thinking about the reason why that armor is there? Are you thinking about what this person went through, the terrible things they did, and their efforts to justify themselves and to redeem themselves? And if that's on your mind, when you put on this power armor, do you use it for good? Do you use it to help the people of the wasteland? Or do you use it to murder everybody in your way? Which one do you think the Black Devil would prefer you do? And does that change the way you play the game? I would love to hear your perspectives on this because it is an interesting story. It is a very brief but yet insightful look at the events and the mindset of soldiers who work for causes that they no longer believe in. And I think we can all relate to this on some level. Have you ever worked a job or had a boss or even a parent, somebody in your life who is trying to tell you that you need to do things a certain way in order to achieve something even greater? And you look at the cost of those actions and you disagree. You decide that the ends don't justify the means. And so what do you do next? In the case of the Black Devil, they served, they helped fight for and protect the people of the wasteland. And then, when their health became an issue, and Sadly enough, their mental health became an issue. They had to give it up. And they're out there somewhere in the wasteland trying to live a normal life. And who knows? Maybe the Enclave will find them. Maybe the Enclave will find them and never know who exactly they were. And that will be the end of their days. So what do you do when you put on the armor? Let me know what you think. And thanks again for tuning into the Fallout Lorecast. If you are checking out this show on audio, then please check out some of the other episodes if you're new. If you're checking out a video version of this, which who knows, maybe it will be up at some point, then click on one of the other videos. Go check out the rest of the content. And thanks for being here. I'll see you in the wasteland or on Twitch or on the Discord. Come join us and talk to us on there. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.